Hello again, this is Will Pass with Tony and Lama. We're going to have another message this evening on how to have God's life living in you, and it's part 121. Then we're going to have, this is actually program number 223. So if you want a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. We've got letters. We've got a message. Yeah, things were much better for me since I met the man Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. What you're listening to is the Life Quartet and Orchestra. The orchestra can be heard at our church in Saugus, California, 13136 Sierra Highway. We have services every evening, 8 o'clock, and twice on Sundays, 3 and 8. We serve meals after each service. And we have wonderful messages and testimonies. So come in and worship the Lord with us every evening at 8 o'clock. We have a ride at the band's theater. Take you up there and bring you back. We have to keep on holding on, and the way that we do that is we have these programs, and the Bible states that we are to hold on one day at a time. Amen?
Amen.
That means we have to stay in the Spirit, walk in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Christ is the Word of God, and the way that we get more and more of Christ in us and the fullness of the Spirit, the fullness of Christ living in us, is to read the Bible every day, to study it. Christ is the Word of God. The Bible tells us that we are given the keys to the kingdom of heaven by believing that Christ, or the Word of God, is the truth. That the Word of God is Spirit and is life. It gives eternal life unto us. But if we get away from the Word of God, then of course the Spirit of God will not always strive with people to read and pray and keep all the commandments. We have to take it upon ourselves to do that. So we read the Bible every day. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, open the windows of heaven. Enter into me in a ministerial way. I know that you're in me at all times. And now, Lord, it's time we're up to bat again, and I want everything that comes out of my mouth to be directly from you, from the throne of God, and let it be dispensed into the world so that the souls out there can be saved and that the church can be strengthened, that the church can be informed, and that the people that are in darkness can see the light, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God. We know that man is not saved by bread, or he doesn't live by bread alone, but he lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God, which is the whole Bible. Believe on the whole Bible, and thou shalt be saved, because the whole Bible is Jesus. Jesus, you came into this world, Father God, you came into this world as a man to live in a man named Jesus. He was begotten by your Holy Spirit, and we are also begotten by the Holy Spirit, but he was born, he was conceived in the one and only Virgin. No other virgin has or ever will have the Messiah be born in them, or they give birth to the flesh of the Messiah, the Son of Man. But of course, your Spirit, you, Father, you, Holy Spirit, you, the Lord Jesus Christ, you enter into us by faith, into our spirits, into our hearts, for the purpose that you have told us about in your word. That's why I study the word, so I know what your purpose is. Your purpose is to have the kingdom of heaven brought forth here on this earth as it is in heaven. And the way that you do that, you have a unique way of getting your word out, Father. You like, it's your purpose to enter into human beings and for them to distribute your word as you distribute it through them, in them and through them, to others in the world, to where there's so many others that have received Jesus, you, Father, the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Godhead bodily into them, and that brings forth the kingdom of heaven on earth. Now, John the Baptist was Jesus stated he was the number one prophet of all times, because other prophets prophesied that the Messiah would come into the earth, but you prophesied that he was coming. You greeted him. You proclaimed him and told that this is the one. And you also baptized him, actually baptized him. So this is why Jesus said you are the greatest of all, because you were the one that introduced him, proclaimed that he was coming, and said this is him. Then you baptized him. And yet Jesus said that the person that is the greatest, the least in the kingdom of heaven, is even better than John the Baptist, because John the Baptist denied that he was Elijah. Elijah went up in a chariot to be in heaven for a while, but the prophet Malachi, by the Holy Spirit, stated that he would come back as a man, because it's appointed unto all men to just die once. That means where there's no such thing as reincarnation. To die once, and after this, the judgment. And so Elijah had to come back to die. And it is the same thing with Enoch, who you took, but he didn't die. He went into heaven. Now he has to come back by the Spirit into a human being, and then he must die also. And then after that, he will be judged. John the Baptist also stated he was not Elijah. And the Bible plainly states that Elijah must first come before the Messiah comes. And so therefore, many people lost their souls because they did not believe in Jesus, because John the Baptist stated that he was not Elijah. And then Elijah, in the John the Baptist, started saying that, are you the one, or do we look for another? That's like doubt. And by doubt, we're damned. It doesn't make any difference if we were the greatest prophet of all time. But if we turn back and we start doubting instead of having faith, well, then we go to hell for it. And so no wonder the least in heaven is better than him. Jesus then, after he said, you said these things to... He said these things to you, Jesus. You told him that the blind eyes are opened, the dead are raised, people are healed of all sorts of diseases, infirmities, sicknesses, devils are cast out, the dead are raised. All these different things that you told him. And what more could the Messiah be doing other than what you did, Jesus? So let the people of the earth pay strict attention to your words, that their souls might be not only enlightened, but that they may receive the light and then stay in the light by letting the Spirit do through them what you did through others in your word, and through that you're doing through myself and others here on this earth today. There are still prophets today, and you know, a lot of people think you're bragging, Father, when you say that you're a prophet, but a prophet prophesies. That's what they do. And you've told me many things that were going to happen, and other things that you said you have to do this or something bad will happen to you. And so I do it, and nothing bad happened to me. So I pray, Lord, that people will be able to see the benefits of being of the commonwealth of the kingdom of heaven, because there's no, the only wealth there is the commonwealth of heaven. There's no wealth anywhere else. The commonwealth of heaven is that it lasts us, and it's our possession throughout eternity. But anything that we gain here in this world of wealth, we can't take it with us. Whether we go to heaven or to hell, not one thing that we own on this earth, except our soul, is going to spend eternity somewhere. That's why it's so important for us to be very attentive, to listen to the things that you're saying to us, Lord. Say it through me tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, where's the first letter from?
From Nigeria.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, I thank God for your life and ministry, for what God is doing in your life to promote His kingdom. I am representing your ministry and distributing your literature here in Nigeria for a long time now. But of recent, some Catholic priests confronted me in my office not to share your literature on Beware of the Blessings from the Vatican and their popes.
Yeah, I figured they'd do that, didn't they?
However, I will rather listen to God rather than man.
Amen. You know, not one person came to me threatening me on that fact, on that piece of literature that I have written, because they know that I won't accept anything that they say. Because they know that I know that they're the devil. And they know that they just want to see how many other people will make a stand. You make a strong stand with them, and these people might even get saved. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Then what?
Your literature is converting so many souls in the villages and towns of Nigeria. 44 pastors are working with me here to distribute your literature.
Praise the Lord.
Please, Brother Alamo, assist us in every way you can. In his service, Reverend Austin from Benin City, Nigeria.
I will help you in any way that I can, Reverend Austin or Pastor Austin and the other pastors that are working with you. Then what? What's the next letter from?
El Salvador.
Okay.
Beloved Brother in Christ, World Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings to you in Jesus' name. I hope you and your physical as well as your spiritual family are in good health. I want to request literature for distribution, and I also request 25 Bibles to take to a hospital. My only purpose, as well as the brothers who go with me, is to serve the Lord. May the Lord bless your ministry to a bigger worldwide level. It is the greatest blessing that the Lord raised you up for this end time. You are a great tool for evangelists from different parts of the world.
Praise the Lord.
May the Lord
to hear that. Then what?
May the Lord bless your wonderful and grand ministry, Cecilia from San Salvador, El Salvador.
Praise the Lord, Cecilia. God bless you, sister. Praise the Lord. Then what?
Then from India, my dear brother Tony Alamo, greetings to you in Jesus' mighty name and peace beyond measure. We thank God for your endless labor and everlasting covenant with God to share good news to many countries to lead perishing souls into eternal life.
Praise the Lord. I thank him too, but it is a labor of love. I don't really even believe that it's work. I love doing this, you know. I mean, I love it. It's not work to me. It's just like I love to do it. Then what?
I know that many souls are being led into Christ by your literature and your good works to the glory of the Most High God in these last days.
Well, the literature all comes from the Lord, so I just give him all the glory. Praise the Lord. Then what?
I often use your newsletters and are in our gospel spreading.
Praise the Lord.
The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. They lead many people into salvation of Christ. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. Lots of thanks for the love that you have shown to this tribal ministry and for the needy children. I know that you have a great burden for the perishing souls and gospel sharing in unreached areas of the world. We always thank God for all of you and mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God your work prompted by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless and give you more than you have, and also good health and wealth. I'm looking forward to hearing from you, your brother Sudaran from Pathapadu, Andhra Pradesh, South India.
Praise the Lord. I feel the prayers of all these people. I really thank and praise the Lord for you. Then what else?
In from Ghana. Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, blessed and Calvary greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope everything is extremely perfect with you. Thanks are to our good God, and may the Lord continue to be your strength. My name is Nana, a Ghanaian by nationality. I was really happy when I came across one of your pieces of literature because I was once a sinner and did not believe and know anything about the Word of God. But when I came across your literature from a friend, I realized that God's words are the best. I have now accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior.
Praise the Lord.
I want you to send me two Bibles so that I can give one to my friend. I love to hear your preachings, teachings, and also songs from your ministry. I want you to add my name to your mailing list so that you will always be sending me your literature so that I will become fully matured in the Word of God. Pastor, also I want you and your church members to pray for me during church service. I love you, Brother Tony, and all members of your holy church. Hope to hear from you soon. Your brother in Christ, Nana from Accra, Ghana.
Praise the Lord. You know that it is the most frustrating thing in the world to become born again of the, or to want to be serving the Lord and to not know where you're able to receive the information on how to serve Him. I remember when I was the Lord was dealing with me, and I knew that He existed after the experience that I had in the Beverly Hills office, but I didn't know what to do or where to go, and so I went into bookstores and I read all kinds of the first page of a book, and it would start saying, well, God wants us to be like the birds and the bees and to just love and have sexual relationships and to just be like flower children and so on. This was in a book called The Prophet, a horrible book. And I knew that that was false because that God just loves you no matter what you do. And I knew that was false because and that God never threatens anybody. That's how I got afraid enough of the Lord to go seeking His Word to find out what He wanted me to do, was because He threatened me in my life and He was threatening to send my soul to hell. And so I sent me off on a spree to find out what in the world, where there must be some type of literature on earth that would show me what to do and the things that I'm supposed to say, because I knew I didn't know anything of the spiritual realm. And then it set me off going to all the different churches, because all the books I would open up and read, maybe a page or maybe two or three pages, and immediately I knew it was false. And I know it was false because of the supernatural experiences the Lord was giving me. And then I went to the different churches, and they were so lame. It was unbelievable. And I thought, these people don't know God because they believe that you can still sin and that you don't have to do what He says. And, I mean, this is what God was saying. Either do this or you die. And I thought, after I started seeking the Lord, it was very easy for me to determine the churches and the different books that were not of the Lord. And the last place I thought the truth would be in a Bible. But when in my own room, I opened up a Bible just out of curiosity, and I came upon the scriptures that said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for that which is right, to know what the will of God is, for they shall be filled with that knowledge." And I thought, God, that's me. What beautiful words. I really want to know what the truth is. I want to know what the truth is. And then Jesus, I read in there where it says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Then I read that Jesus is the Word of God, and that the Word of God is the truth, the way to heaven, the truth of how to get to heaven, and the very life of a immortality. And so all those things, the Lord just led me to those scriptures to know that it was the truth. And then he showed me, I was over at this people's place and their apartment. And I was in my apartment where I saw this vision of heaven and then hell. And I started screaming to the top of my lungs of, please God, don't send my soul to hell. I'll do anything you say, but just don't send my soul to hell. Then this voice came to me. It was Satan for sure. He was telling me, you're just doubting. I mean, you're just imagining these things. Oh, you know, this is not the Lord. This is the devil talking to you. So I opened my eyes. I was actually on a hard wood floor. And when I opened my eyes, I was on this very thick carpet. And it was like with living colors in it. I don't know how to explain living colors to you, because they're eternal colors, colors that are from the other side of eternity, on the other side of the veil. And I knew that if I looked up, I was right before the throne of God, the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I knew if I looked up, I'd see him. And I had so much guilt that on my soul that I couldn't look at the Lord. I just couldn't. And so I closed my eyes and I got under conviction for doubting God that these visions that I was receiving was from the Lord. And so I said, then I saw hell again. I says, oh God, please don't send me. I'll never doubt you again. I promise I'll never doubt you. Never, ever doubt you that these things that you're showing me and that you're putting me through, it's making me into, you know, so frightened of you, because the truth is frightening to a person like me that was out in darkness for so long. I was 30 years old, and that was 42 years ago, and I just was, oh God, please have mercy, I'll never doubt you again. And I kept screaming and pleading for him to forgive me, and all of a sudden the stars broke. I could see him in my mind's eye, I guess they call it, and the stars broke, and there was a sign of the cross, and I felt just miles and miles and miles, hundreds, thousands of miles of spirit enter into my soul. It was like maybe a million miles of the spirit of the Lord entering into me, and I started a tear started coming through my eyes. It wasn't just a tear. It was like streams of warm water coming out of my eyes. And I'm not a weeper, and it was just, I was so full of joy. I've never felt any joy like that before in my entire life, and I know that I never will until I see Jesus again. And I saw him 3 years later, around 3 years later. I saw him. He appeared in front of me. And I've got all these visions that I've seen, and these dream visions. And before me, my seeing Jesus, God gave me a vision of Sue and myself getting married. And so he showed her too. And we did get married. And then this great work evolved from these visions from God. And so therefore I know that the things that the Lord has shown me are true, and the things that he showed the prophets in the Bible are true, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And the things that he let the people do in the Old Testament, he lets them do today if he commands them to do it. And when the Lord commands you to do something, there's nothing wrong with it. Amen?
Amen.
So even though Susie was married to a gangster, and she had tried to divorce him on many occasions, But he'd bring all kinds of false accusations and humiliate her in court to where she'd just throw in a towel. And she was finished with him because he had broken the marriage vows. He was committing fornication out in the world. And the same thing with the wife that I had, Helen. She was fornicating and was, she'd just hide doing it. And so God put us both together. And I said, well, I told Susie, the Lord put us together. Why do we have to go to a man to get married? We go to the Caesar to get, she said, just to show people that we're doing things the right way. So we went to Las Vegas. She sold her furniture in her apartment. We went off to Las Vegas and we got married 3 times there. As a matter of fact, Hank Snow was our best man over at the Red Rock Baptist Church. Now, we're not Baptists, but that's where the first time we were married, and then we got married in front of a judge, and then we were married at a chapel 3 times. And I told Sue it would take a Philadelphia attorney to divorce us. Just joking around with her. That was the last person that I would ever be divorced from. We were, it was the most supernatural thing. I don't believe two people were put together any more supernaturally than Sue and myself. Because she was 9 years older than me. She would have never married me. She wanted somebody that had gray hair. Somebody that looked dignified and respectable, and that was exactly the opposite of what I was. And to me, I always thought I should marry a younger woman and not someone older like that, because I knew she was wise and I knew she was holy, and I knew that she wasn't like the bums, which I call them, on the streets, the whorish, piggish women that are on earth today that think it's so smart for them to be pigs and to display their nude bodies all over magazines and in on television and movies. They're swine. But they're swine that needs to be saved. Amen?
Amen.
And so the Lord has given me a compassion to preach the gospel to the most wicked people on earth, because I was the most wicked person on earth. And if the Lord had patience on me, then he expects me to have patience on them. And I've had patience with a lot of people, even people that have testified falsely against me in courtrooms. But it was so wonderful. You know, when the Lord comes into you in a big way, when you really are have the fear of the Lord, millions of miles of the Holy Spirit just kept going down and down and down into me. And after that happened, before that happened, I felt that I was so inferior to Sue. But when all that is like I was a well, and that all this water from heaven came down into that well and filled me up, and I didn't feel inferior to her anymore. As a matter of fact, I felt to be her superior, that I was the man of the house, and that it's amazing the knowledge that the Lord gave me. Even before I'd really read the Bible that much. But like I have a perfect understanding of the Bible, and the Lord told me that I do. And it was, I believe, the initial amount of that wisdom and understanding came into me on the moment that I was saved. Then Sue and I, when I came in one day to the Bible lesson, I could hear her crying out to God in the bedroom. And so I just waited in the living room with the rest of the people. And she was crying out to God, and I fell asleep because I'd been up all night with a sore tooth, and the toothache went away. And it was so such a relief that I fell down asleep on the couch there in the living room. And this is when this vision came to me. It just blasted into my mind like a television set. And here I saw myself walking into a room, and there was Sue laying on a couch. She had a red velour sweater on and a blue velour pants, and her hair was different. It was cut, and it was real blonde, and she had it swept. She had long hair before that, But she cut it. And I went right over to the couch to my Bible teacher, knelt down in the vision and started kissing her on the lips. And it showed my left profile and her right profile. And all of a sudden I started pushing myself up from this dream vision. And all of a sudden it says, I says, "No, Lord, no, the blood of Jesus." And it just stayed there. I said, "This is my Bible teacher." And he said, "It's true. This is true. It's true. It's true." And I says, "No." And I says, "She's smarter than I am." And he says, "That's good for your ego." It just came right back. And then I started asking all kinds of questions, started pouring out of my heart. And they were coming out so fast that I couldn't even tell what was coming out of my heart. And as they were coming out of my heart, here was these words from heaven coming down into my heart. So there was a stream of words or denials of what was happening coming out of my heart. And there was like the answers of saying, "Yes, it's true," coming into my heart, and all kinds of answers of things that I would probably ask in the future. And then all of a sudden I was wide awake, but I was still seeing the vision with my eyes wide open. And puffs of the Holy Spirit, like smoke, came around me saying, "It's true, it's 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 true." Kept coming real fast. And all of a sudden I saw this color picture of Sue and myself turn into a picture that was black, and it had both of our, we were still kissing, but it was just an outline of wrought iron, white wrought iron, where we were still, it was just our profiles, and the white hot iron, wrought iron, or whatever it was, started shimmering. And when it was shimmering, it just started coming towards me and went right into my mind and down into my soul. And while it was saying, "It's true, it's true, it's true." And then it went away. And I started, "Well, my God, I mean, could this be true? I mean, this is like unbelievable." Because I actually thought the Lord was killing me. That I had these evil thoughts of kissing my Bible teacher, who I knew more about God than anybody else on earth. And it was like I was under conviction, and yet the Lord just kept saying, "It's true, it's true, it's true, it's true, it's true, it's okay." And so I tried to go back to sleep, but there was so much on my mind about this that I couldn't. And I just thought, now if I know if I can see her, I'll know if it's true. I'll know if it's true if I can see her. Because I believe, you know, she somehow must know. And so I felt her presence come up next to the couch, and I looked up, and she had this horrified look on her face, and her hands were up on the side of her, just out about a foot away from each side of her head, and it was like horrified. And I looked into her eyes. And I knew, oh my God, it's true. I just looked very fast and turned away. And then she promised to take me to the dentist because she knew I had this toothache. And so I said, "Are you ready?" And here her hair was cut. She had cut it that night. And I'd seen it in the vision without having seen her that way. So I just saw her fixing one of the sister's hair in the kitchen, on a stool in the dining room next to the kitchen. And I felt that I had to say something to her. I says, "Sue," she says, "Yeah." And I said, "Your hair looks good." And she says, "Thank you." And then I just waited a little bit longer. And I says, "What time do we have to go to the dentist?" And she told me. So she said, "Okay, I'm ready." And she came out. She went in and got dressed up. We were walking down towards the Hollywood Boulevard. We were only about 3 blocks from there. And when we got by the Lido Hotel on Coinga Boulevard, I said, it just came out of my mouth. I said, "I had the most weird dreams." And she said, "What was it?" I says, "What do you mean? Why are you asking and saying in that manner for?" And she said, "What was it?" I said, "Ben, it was really frightening me." And I says, "You know." And she said, "I know. But I told the Lord that you have to tell me." Because during the night, she was getting all night long. That's when I heard her buzzing up to the throne through the door. I couldn't hear what she was saying. She said, "Oh, no, God, it can't be true, because this guy is like a wild person." Because I was a promoter, a marketing person. And he's younger to me. She said that she saw us walking through an arbor with flowers, big roses that were dripping with dew. And that she saw us, me with the tuxedo on and her with a wedding gown. And that we're walking through this arbor arm in arm. And she says, "You have to tell me." And I said, "But you know." And she says, "I know." I said, "Well, you tell me." And she says, "Oh, no. The way that I know it's of the Lord is that he," she says, "I told him to tell you, and that only when you tell me will I know that it was of the Lord." Because she did not believe that this vision that she was receiving was from the Lord any more than I did. And so we went over to Music City because my toothache went away still. And we went in there and started playing records. They used to have booths on Hollywood, on Sunset Boulevard and Vine, where you could go there and play records. And she just kept badgering me. "What was it that the Lord showed you?" I said, "Well, finally, after so long," I just said, "You and me in Vegas." And she said, "That's right." And she grabbed my arm and stuck my arm in hers, and she marched me out of that booth and out onto the street. And she says, "Tell me about it." And so I told her, and then she told me what she was getting. And then she said, "Lord, you know, I've lived too long in the gospel field. I've been too faithful to you, and I'm not going to lose my soul over any man." And he's so young, but when she said he's too young, the Lord said, "Yes, but he's strong." And I thought, well, you know, because I did work out with weights and all that. He didn't mean physically, he meant spiritually. That I would, you know, wouldn't be moved by anything on the face of this earth, because I've seen the visions of heaven and hell. And after this happened, we went to Vegas. We got married the three times that I told you. Once in the Red Rock Baptist Church, and Hank Snow was our best man there. And he didn't even know us. But he was just asked to be the best man there. Because his friend was the pastor of the Red Rock Baptist Church. I never even remembered who it was. And there was a fierce storm trying to prevent us from going to that church, because Susie made the appointment. And finally, when we got in there and we got married and we came out, it was the most beautiful day, like the storm had ended. It was just so many miraculous things happened. And one thing led to the other, and here we are. Seems like just yesterday, and here this is 42 years later, and Susie passed away April 8th in 1982. It's 24 years ago. And we're all over the world now. Just two people that ordinarily in the flesh would never have married each other. And yet God has done this great and mighty work. Now, there was nobody preaching the truth back then. But we put out so much of the truth, this ministry, that many of the preachers all over the world are preaching it now. And, you know, God is keeping score up there. They'll say, "Oh, no, we never did that or this." And I really don't care. Doesn't matter. I know that God, I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm only trying to impress people to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And that He not only shed his blood for them, but he died willingly and shed his blood willingly as an atonement for our sins. And I didn't know all these things at all. I didn't even believe in Jesus. I didn't believe in God. I didn't believe there was the supernatural. And God has totally turned me around in very, very many, many supernatural things that have happened to me down through the years. And it's just so incredible. And I can't understand why people would want to remain out of the excitement that is happening in the spiritual realm today, because these are the last days and God is moving swiftly and he's moving in power and he's moving in truth. And the most fearful thing in the world is a lot of people think it's fearful to die, and it is without the Lord, but more fearful to me would be to live a life that has no purpose to it. I had no purpose. It was just making one promotion after the other. It was like painting the George Washington Bridge. By the time you get done with it, it needs to be painted again. You come back, and it's just like a rat race going round and round, round and round, going to work every day, punching the time clock, or doing another promo, and doing another thing. But now, what a purpose this is to lead people to the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus didn't come preaching religion, he came preaching the kingdom of heaven. That's a whole way of life. It isn't like going to a church and sitting on the pews and clapping your hands or living around church people at all. It's like a kingdom of heaven lifestyle. It can no longer live according to the life of people in darkness or the kingdom of darkness. That all has to go away if you want to go to heaven. And I know how hard it is for people to believe, because I didn't believe at all. But I just pray that God will show you visions, dreams, signs, wonders. But he said, it's more blessed for you to believe when a preacher tells you these things and when you read the Bible than it would be for a person like me that saw all these visions and dreams. Like Isaiah, he says, we've reported things. We've written about the things that have happened to us and the things that God has said to us. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord, in other words, the strength of God, been revealed? Now, the law came by Moses, but power and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people say grace means undeserved favor. They are so immature. Grace does not mean undeserved favor. If you come to the Lord, you deserve everything. As a matter of fact, he makes you a son or a daughter. It's not undeserved favor. You deserve salvation if you come to the Lord and if you believe on the whole word of God, which is Jesus. Now, the Bible says, believe on the whole word of God and thou shalt be saved. You say, no, it doesn't. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But the Bible plainly says that Jesus Christ is the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
So that really means believe on the entire word of God, from Genesis to Revelations, and thou shalt be saved. And so, then 3 years later, after we were married, I saw Jesus appear right before my very face. So, you know, all these people say that he doesn't exist, or nobody's ever seen God. The Bible tells us that Jesus is God. God came to the world in the flesh of Jesus Christ, to show us how to live the kingdom life, how to talk the kingdom talk, how to walk the kingdom walk. Amen? The kingdom of heaven walk. Now, there's the kingdom of darkness that we were originally in before the kingdom of Jesus and John the Baptist came preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But it is at hand, and it's in the world now. We, the kingdom of heaven, are here on earth. And so there's no denying it. And we, the kingdom of light, or the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, are telling you, come out of darkness and come unto the Prince of Light, the King of Light. The kingdom, come into the kingdom of light before it's too late. Because there's no profit in you staying in the kingdom of darkness and having the king of darkness, Satan, be your king. There's no profit. He wants to destroy you. The Bible says that he's a thief, a liar, and a murderer. Amen?
Amen.
But the Lord has come to give you the entire kingdom and to give you immortal life. Satan wants to take that life away. He wants to keep you in ignorance, in darkness. But the Lord has come to show you the light, the life, the way, the truth, and the kingdom of light. Okay, now we'll read a little bit from something that I laid down yesterday, and they typed it up. Go ahead. Where are we at there?
Whenever anyone of the world tries to tell us what to do, unless they are in a legitimate position of authority given by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, there arises in us a spirit or an attitude of resentment or resistance, because it's not the Lord's will that we be ruled by the unsaved, but to be ruled by God's rulers, which are his ministers, according to chapter 13 of Romans.
Okay, read that a little bit.
Okay.
And what?
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God.
Okay, so, and later it says that these powers, these authorities, are God's ministers. Okay, keep reading.
The powers that be are ordained of God.
Yeah, do you think that the devil is ordained of God? God says that he has allowed them to exist and to operate, but God uses these authorities, these satanic authorities, to buffet people for their sins. And so God turned the devil loose on you, or allow the devil to destroy you, to make you sick, if you don't believe his word. Because if you believe his word and you're sick, you're healed. If you believe his word and you were lost, you're out in darkness, you're going to be saved. But if you disbelieve, then God turns you over. Let's say you love Satan, you love darkness. Okay, here I turn you over to darkness. And darkness, the kingdom of darkness, does to you the thing that does to everybody. Okay, when you turn your back on the Lord, and then you've got not only Satan against you, because Satan is not for you, no matter how much you think he is. And you've got not only Satan against you, but worse than that, you've got God against you. Because God does say he does send plagues. And he sends all sorts of plagues on those that hate him. And he sends a plague that is so unbelievable, you know, about how he will send strong delusions to you if you don't love the word of God, which is Jesus. He says strong delusions. And he makes you believe a lie because you don't love the truth. So he says, I'll send you strong lies then. And all of a sudden you'll hear somebody knocking on your door. And then say, who's there? And they say, Jehovah's Witnesses, we've been sent here to tell you some more lies. Or some other cult come knocking on your door. Or like many other lies that God sends to people who have no love for light, life, truth, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of truth, the kingdom of life. All right, so let's read some more.
Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works.
Now, do you think that the kingdom of darkness is a terror to good works? I mean, they are at war against the people of the Lord. They're at war against God. They're at war against Jesus. They're at war against the Bible. Why do you think they want to drum the name of God Jesus, the Bible, and the people of Jesus. Why do you think Clinton went into, former President Clinton, had everyone destroyed at Waco? Because he's with the Vatican. And the Vatican, the Bible says that this is Satan's seat in Rome, where the Vatican sits. And they want to annihilate God and all the people of God. They want to annihilate the Bible. You don't even dare. They don't tell you when they're swearing you in court now. They don't tell you, and then I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. They don't say, so help me God. So help me the one world system. And most people are today, the people of darkness are more benevolent to the power of darkness because they fear Satan more than they fear the Lord. And you're misdirecting your fear because you don't have to fear anything. If you fear God, you don't have to fear anyone else. Okay? Okay, then what else?
For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same.
The power. Okay, then what else?
For he is the minister of God to thee for good.
So the ministers of God, now there's many false ministers today, but the ministers of God, the true ones like myself, fear us because we're telling you the truth. And if you don't pay any attention or heed to it, and you don't fear what we're telling you to be the truth, God will do to you what he said that he would do to me if I didn't stand up and tell the people in that office about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again. He said he'd kill me and send my soul to hell. Now, you're going to be saved or you're going to and go to the kingdom of heaven and be a part of the kingdom of heaven here on earth, recruiting other people to be in the kingdom, or you're going to be lost. And God is no respecter of persons. If you'll throw other sinners into hell in the lake of fire, you're actually doing it yourself. You're throwing yourself right into hell in the lake of fire. Then go ahead.
But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain.
Yeah. So it already says that these are the ministers of the gospel. And it's for sure the Vatican hates the gospel. They say anybody that reads the Bible is insane. And this, no one could say that but Satan. Okay, now let's get back to, these are your ministers, the Bible says. Read that. But the new Bibles, that's why you've got to stay away from the NIV and all these other ones. They say that the Bible is, they say that the civil powers, that the power of the Antichrist government is the power of God. Don't believe that. Throw those kind of Bibles away. The most popular Bible today is the NIV Bible. That means the whole world has been deceived. And I don't want you to be deceived, and God doesn't want you to be deceived either. I see my time is up. We'll read one more line here or two.
His ministers are not those that just began ministering, but those who are the elders, tutors, and governors.
Yes, but we all must minister to ourselves, and we're all rulers, but we have to rule in whatever environment that the Lord put us in. Not as men rule, but as the Lord rules. When the Lord is in an environment, it's he rules with the Spirit of God, with love and peace, and reproof and rebuke, and casting out demons and things like this. Well, now will you come to the Lord? Will you believe my report and the prophets' reports? And the apostles' reports. You know, an apostle is one that's seen Christ. I've seen him. And so I don't, you know, whether you give me the title of an apostle or not, I could care less. But nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. And that when you know the truth, this truth will set you free from all the weakness of your flesh. All the weak lusts in your flesh, he'll pull you right out of it if you'll just start out by saying this prayer to the Lord right now. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy former sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you have heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved because you say that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. And just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord. And Sharon, tell them how they can receive a copy of program number 223, absolutely free of charge, even free of charge of postage and handling.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, praise the Lord. Make sure you tune in tomorrow because we're going to have another message. I was all planned to bring another message this evening, but the Lord turned it around to what you received, what you heard tonight. And it's wonderful to hear from the Lord. Don't you think?
Amen.
I do. Praise the Lord. Because you know it's the Lord. And so tomorrow's part will be part 122 of How to Have God's Life in You. And it'll be, the program will be 224. And so I love to bring the gospel message to you. Okay, this is H.B. Barn. You're hearing this wonderful music. You can hear it in our church every night. 8 o'clock every evening, and 13136 Sierra Highway. We have beautiful music, too, over in the Texarkana area, Portsmouth area, New Jersey area, and all over the world. And we serve meals after each service. We have services at 3 and 8 on Sunday, so don't fail to come. Until tomorrow's message, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you. And praise the Lord.